Today is Thursday, January 30th, and this is the World Socialist Website. Trump pushes drive toward dictatorship as Democrats block opposition, by Patrick Martin. The new administration of President Donald Trump escalated its fascist attacks on the democratic and social rights of the American people Wednesday, while Democratic Party leaders wrung their hands, warned against a too aggressive response to the Trump onslaught, and even claimed that Trump had already begun to retreat. The list of substantive actions announced, taken, or threatened by the Trump White House requires daily updating. Wednesday's list includes some actions taken Monday night or Tuesday, but only confirmed by the White House on Wednesday, asserting Trump's absolute authority across the federal government, regardless of law and precedent. This includes firing Democratic appointees on the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, or EEOC, and the National Labor Relations Board, or NLRB, forcibly removing the Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Agriculture from her office after she defied her firing by Trump was illegal, firing career Justice Department lawyers who were employed in the office of Special Counsel Jack Smith, who brought charges against Trump over the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol and the illegal retention of classified documents, and shutting down the prosecution of two Trump employees, his valet, Walt Nauta, and Carlos de Oliveira, a property manager at Mar-a-Lago, for their roles in the documents case, reaffirming a ban on the use of federal funds for any program that does not meet the definitions laid down in a previous Trump executive order against diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI programs, while requiring schools to engage in patriotic education that glorifies how, quote, the United States has admirably grown closer to its noble principles throughout its history, unquote. Four top cabinet officials, including, ominously, the Secretary of Defense, are mandated to provide a plan within 90 days for, quote, eliminating federal funding or support for illegal and discriminatory treatment and indoctrination in K-12 schools, including based on gender ideology and discriminatory equity ideology, unquote. An executive order that incorporates, as official government policy, the witch-hunting demands of the House committee that investigated campus protests against the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The order requires all federal agencies to report within 60 days what authority they have to strike back against protests, quote, arising from post-October 7, 2023 campus anti-Semitism, unquote. This would include, quote, recommendations for familiarizing institutes of higher education with the grounds for inadmissibility, so that such institutions may monitor for and report activities by alien students and staff relevant to those grounds, and for ensuring that such reports about aliens lead, as appropriate and consistent with applicable law, to investigations and, if warranted, actions to remove such aliens, unquote. In other words, foreign students identified as opponents of the Gaza genocide and other crimes of the State of Israel will be deported. This from a president who in 2017 said neo-Nazis who marched and chanted, "Jews will not replace us," were, quote, very fine people, unquote. A memorandum to Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth and Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem to, quote, take all appropriate actions to expand the Migrant Operations Center at Naval Station Guantanamo Bay to full capacity to provide additional detention space for high-priority criminal aliens unlawfully present in the United States, and to address attendant immigration enforcement needs identified by the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security, unquote. Guantanamo Bay is to become a concentration camp for detained migrants, particularly those from countries like Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua that refuse to accept deportation flights. The dictatorial character of these actions, and particularly the last two, hardly needs explanation. Trump arrogates to himself the authority to decide which laws he will obey and which he will ignore, orders the transformation of K-12 education into a system of patriotic brainwashing, with the Pentagon given an unprecedented oversight role, and extends the persecution of immigrants to include those legally studying in the United States if they express political views opposed by the White House. And finally, the fascist president demands establishment of a vast concentration camp run by the U.S. Navy, where detained immigrants can be imprisoned indefinitely. In the face of this rampage against democratic rights and constitutional and legal precedent, the Democratic Party congressional leadership is prostrate. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries issued a call for a, quote, comprehensive, three-pronged counteroffensive, unquote, which appears to consist of see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer held a press conference on short notice after the White House rescinded the memorandum issued Monday, ordering a pause in all federal grants and transfers, claiming ludicrously that Trump was now, quote, feeling the heat, unquote, supposedly generated by the Democrats. In reality, after a federal judge issued a temporary stay of the memorandum issued by the Office of Management and Budget, the White House withdrew the order while reaffirming the policy outlined in it, citing, quote-unquote, confusion created by the order's sudden and haphazard implementation. More importantly, Trump has continued to gather Democratic Party support for his reactionary attacks on the working class. He first mentioned the Guantanamo Bay plan, elaborated later in the evening in a formal message at the White House ceremony for the signing of the Laken Riley Act. This is a vicious anti-immigrant measure, requiring detention or deportation of any undocumented person charged with any offense, even a minor traffic citation. The bill was backed by dozens of House Democrats and enough Senate Democrats to overcome a filibuster. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, one of its Democratic supporters, was in attendance at the bill signing, and Trump made repeated references to the bipartisan character of the bill and thanked those Democrats who voted for it. The Democrats claim that they are shocked at the speed of Trump's actions, and their media apologists claim that the Democrats are powerless to do anything to stop it. Both contentions are lies. Trump had repeatedly said that he would be a, quote, dictator from day one, unquote, and the Democrats cited these threats during the 2024 election campaign. How can they be surprised, let alone shocked, that Trump is doing what he said he would do? Rather than being powerless to oppose Trump or biding their time until public sentiment potentially turns against Trump, as Politico claimed, the Democrats have made far different political calculations. They do not fear Trump's supposed support in the population. Their main fear is the opposite, that popular resistance in the working class will erupt as Trump's class war policies begin to take effect. There have already been protests over Trump-ordered roundups of immigrant workers and their families. These protests will grow exponentially as it becomes clear that the entire working class is under attack. The measures announced on Monday as a consequence of the funding pause, and only delayed slightly by the court order, will impact tens of millions of working people. Every family that has a child who is in Head Start or is receiving school lunches and breakfasts, everyone on Medicaid and other federal programs that involve grants to state and local governments or charitable agencies will be devastated. A political explosion is inevitable. The role of the Democratic Party, as one of the two main political instruments of the financial oligarchy, is to suppress this political opposition or divert it into safe channels that do not threaten the profits and wealth of the super rich. The political commentary cited the concern of one Democratic strategist that, quote, there's a space out there for someone to fill. Indeed, there is, and it can and must be filled by the Revolutionary Socialist Party, the Socialist Equality Party. There is an enormous political vacuum in the United States and internationally between the official capitalist political system careening towards the right and empowering outright fascists like Trump and the vast majority of the population, the working class, which is moving into great struggles to defend jobs, living standards, and democratic rights, and opposing the mounting threat of global war. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Senate Confirmation Hearing and the Rise of Anti-Science Quackery by Evan Blake. On Wednesday, a political freak show descended on Washington, D.C. in the form of the first Senate confirmation hearing of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Trump's nominee to head the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS. Backed by dozens of ultra-right anti-vaccine zealots in the audience, Kennedy engaged in over 3 hours of lies, half-truths, and disinformation in his effort to become the top general in Trump's war on public health. Appealing to Trump's Christian fundamentalist supporters, Kennedy set the anti-science tone at the beginning, proclaiming in his opening remarks, quote, "The first thing I've done every morning for the past 20 years is to get on my knees and pray to God that he would put me in a position to end the chronic disease epidemic and to help America's children. That's why I'm so grateful to President Trump for the opportunity to sit before you today and seek your support and partnership in this endeavor," unquote. Later on, to the cheers of Kennedy's supporters, Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, proclaimed, quote, "Mr. Kennedy, I believe for such a time as this that you are the person to head HHS to make America healthy again, that God has a divine purpose for you, and I look forward to your confirmation and working with you to make America healthy again," unquote. Over the course of the hearing, Kennedy covered up his role in the deaths of 83 people, almost all young children, and the 2019 measles epidemic in Samoa. He also pledged to carry out Trump's orders to dismantle all access to abortion and reproductive rights for women, cast doubt on the life-saving benefits of vaccines against measles and COVID-19, and denigrated all public health measures necessary to stop the spread of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Throughout the hearing, the Democrats engaged in their threadbare form of kabuki theater, posturing as great defenders of public health. But, as has been the case with every other confirmation hearing, not once did any Democrat call upon the tens of millions of Americans who oppose Trump, Kennedy, and their policies to protest or in any way mobilize collectively. Prior to the hearing, none of them spoke out in any meaningful way against Kennedy's nomination. The reality is that there is bipartisan support for the gutting of public health and health care, as well as support for the lowering of life expectancy. Over the past 4 years, the Biden administration and the Democratic Party have overseen the normalization of the COVID-19 pandemic, resulting in nearly 1 million excess deaths attributable to the pandemic under Biden. Despite the fact that the U.S. is presently mired in its 10th wave of mass COVID-19 infection, as well as surges of seasonal flu, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, and norovirus, which have created a quaddemic that is inundating hospitals, not a single senator made reference to any of this, or the dire conditions now existing in U.S. hospitals. The only reference to the ongoing impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic came from the anti-abortion fanatic Todd Young, Republican of Indiana, who referred to long COVID, prompting a cynical and disingenuous pledge from Kennedy to promote further research into the often debilitating affliction now impacting over 20 million Americans. Furthermore, not a single Democrat referred to the other Trump nominees to head the 13 agencies that comprise HHS, all of whom are anti-science quacks who viciously oppose public health. Jay Bhattacharya, Trump's pick to head the National Institutes of Health, or NIH, the agency responsible for conducting long COVID research, has repeatedly downplayed the risks of long COVID. No one challenged Kennedy's false claim that children, quote, basically have a zero risk on COVID, unquote, which he stated to defend a May 2021 lawsuit brought by his anti-vaccine organization, the Children's Health Defense, to bar the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines at the height of the pandemic. The fact is that thousands of children have died of COVID-19 in the U.S., while millions are suffering from long COVID, which affects children at rates similar to adults. In addition, no Democrat questioned Kennedy's promotion of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin throughout the pandemic, quack remedies to which he referred approvingly during the hearing. While the Democrats' opposition to Kennedy was thoroughly false and aimed at maintaining a degree of credibility among their supporters, they cited a number of his most extreme statements, which clearly disqualify him to head the HHS. In a rare moment of truth, when asked by Senator Michael Bennett, Democrat of Colorado, quote, "Did you say Lyme disease is highly likely a militarily engineered bioweapon?" unquote, Kennedy admitted, "I probably did say that." Among the other extraordinary quotes from Kennedy promoting conspiracy theories and blatant attacks on science, all of which he either falsely claimed not to have said or distorted their meaning, are the following. In July 2023, Kennedy was caught on film stating, quote, "In fact, COVID-19, there is an argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacks certain races disproportionately. COVID-19 is targeted to attack Caucasians and Black people because of the genetic structure of the virus. The people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese," unquote. In 2024, Kennedy said that the polio vaccine caused cancers that, quote, "killed many, 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 many more people than polio ever did," unquote. Speaking at an anti-vaccine conference in November 2023, Kennedy pledged to fire 600 workers at the National Institutes of Health if elected, adding, quote, "we're going to give infectious disease a break for about 8 years," unquote. Speaking in 2019 to a private audience at Autism One, a conference for parents of autistic children, Kennedy stated, quoting, "the institution CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the vaccine program is more important than the children that it's supposed to protect. It's the same reason we had a pedophile scandal in the Catholic Church, because people were able to convince themselves that the institution, the church, was more important than these little boys and girls who were being raped. And everybody kept their mouth shut," end quote. In previous remarks to Autism One, Kennedy stated that the CDC is a, quote-unquote, "cesspool of corruption, filled with profiteers, harming children in a way he likened to, quote, Nazi death camps," unquote. Significantly, the only explicit reference to H5N1 bird flu came at the very end of the hearing, in a brief one-minute question from Tina Smith, a Democrat from Minnesota, who asked Kennedy, quote, "do you intend to give research on bird flu a break," unquote. Kennedy lyingly replied, quote, "I intend to devote appropriate resources to preventing pandemics. That's a central part of my job," unquote. Kennedy's hearing and the start of the Trump administration coincide with the most dangerous phase to date of the unchecked spread of bird flu among poultry and dairy cattle across the U.S., which began in December 2023 and has so far likely infected hundreds of farm workers. Scientists have repeatedly warned of the elevated risk of bird flu developing the capacity for human-to-human transmission during the flu season due to the greater chance of genetic reassortment in patients co-infected with both viruses. Earlier in the hearing, two Republican senators obliquely referred to bird flu when questioning Kennedy about his support for ranchers and farmers and his willingness to work with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, or USDA, which is not a public health agency, and is inappropriately assigned to oversee the bird flu outbreak. In one response, Kennedy stated, quoting, "farm country is Trump country. Farmers across the country supported him during this election. He has specifically instructed me, and he wants farmers involved in every policy, and that he wants me to work with Brooke Rollins at USDA to make sure that we preserve American farmers, that all of our policies support them," unquote. In other words, Kennedy will work hand in glove with Rollins, the president and CEO of Trump's America First Policy Institute, to ensure that no public health measures are taken to stem the spread of bird flu among cattle or poultry, or to mitigate the risk of spillover to humans, so as to ensure the continued flow of profits to the meat and agribusiness monopolies. The fact that not a single Democratic senator focused his or her remarks on the growing danger of a bird flu pandemic, or even put Kennedy on the spot by asking him directly whether he would support the rapid development and deployment of a vaccine in the event of a bird flu pandemic, speaks volumes of their pro-corporate, anti-public health position. None referred to the fact that Trump's ongoing gag order on all HHS agencies has included the suppression of at least 3 CDC updates on the bird flu situation in the U.S. At this point, it appears highly likely that Kennedy will be approved by the Senate and sworn in as Trump's health secretary. Not a single Republican senator has voiced any opposition to his nomination, and all those on the Finance Committee were cordial and clearly inclined to vote for him. It would require 3 Republicans to defect and vote against Kennedy, which would trigger a tie-breaking vote by Vice President J.D. Vance as took place with Trump's other most controversial nominee, the fascist Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth. On the off chance that Kennedy is not approved by the Senate, Trump has already threatened to adjourn Congress in order to install him via a recess appointment, an unprecedented assault on the U.S. Constitution and its assertion of the Senate's power of advice and consent over presidential cabinet nominations. The appointment of Kennedy to head the HHS and oversee public health in the United States will mark one of the most advanced expressions of the decline of American capitalism. The core scientific agencies of the most powerful country in the world will likely soon be overseen by a conspiracy theorist and anti-vaccine quack, who has built his fortune and power by spreading lies and attacking science, making him culpable in the deaths of millions globally from COVID-19. The retrograde policies he implements will have vast ramifications and will accelerate the radicalization of the American and international working class. Trump denounces Fed decision not to cut interest rate, by Nick Beams. In what was a near certain decision, the U.S. Federal Reserve kept its base interest rate on hold at its meeting yesterday and essentially signaled a halt to the rate cuts which began last September. Having cut its rate by a full percentage point over its three previous meetings, the Fed indicated that it had now paused. Fed Chair Jerome Powell told the press conference following the two-day meeting that policymakers, quote, do not need to be in a hurry to adjust our policy stance, unquote. He said the Fed would need to see some, quote, real progress on inflation or some weakness in the labor market before we consider making adjustments, unquote. The meeting was held in the immediate aftermath of the coming to power of Trump and his slew of executive orders. The press conference saw numerous attempts by journalists to elicit some comment from Powell on the effect of the administration's policy, but his response was always the same, no comment. Asked about the impact of the proposed tariff measures, which by their very nature raise prices and thereby are a factor in determining Fed interest rate policy, Powell replied, quote, we need to let those policies be implemented before we can even begin to make a plausible assessment of what their implications for the economy will be, unquote. In answer to another question on the effect of the new administration on Fed policy, he said, quote, I'm not going to have any response or comment whatsoever on what the president said, unquote. Powell may be trying to retain a stony silence on the policies of the new administration and their impact, saying it was not the job of the Fed to criticize or praise government policy. But Trump has not. Last week, in the lead-up to the meeting, Trump declared, quote, I think I know interest rates much better than they do, and I think I know them certainly much better than the one, Powell, who's primarily in charge of making that decision, unquote. Trump has said interest rates should fall a lot, and he would let it be known if he disagreed with a Fed decision. Trump rapidly made good on this commitment. In a post on his Truth Social messaging platform yesterday, he said, quote, if the Fed has spent less time on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, gender ideology, green energy, and fake climate change, inflation would never have been a problem, unquote. The outburst was in line with his fascistic assertions that the problems of American society and its economy are the result of the activities of leftist, Marxist, so-called woke politics, and above all, immigrants and refugees. Having placed in cabinet positions people who have pledged their adherence to him and his MAGA agenda, it irks Trump to no end that he does not, as yet, exercise direct executive power over the central bank. Trump is the direct representative of the most rapacious sections of the financial oligarchy, having himself emerged from the semi-underworld of New York real estate. Their vast fortunes have been accumulated above all as a result of the escalation of the stock market fueled by low interest rates. Powell, on the other hand, must take into account the broader interests of the markets and financial system. As the Financial Times commented, he will need to, quote, resist White House pressure if he is to retain the confidence of markets and avoid unleashing a new wave of inflation. Trump's immediate outburst is certain to be only the first. While Trump has said he will not try to remove Powell, whom he appointed, before his term expires in 2026, that issue may arise again. In any case, a political war has now erupted. Speaking to the FT, well-known Cornell University economist Eswar Prasad commented, quote, "This rate decision, which was the only viable choice the Fed had at this juncture, will cue the political pressure. The coming months will be extraordinarily challenging for the Fed. If inflation stays sticky above its target level, even as Trump piles on intense pressure to cut rates and bring down borrowing costs," unquote. It is by no means certain, however, that borrowing costs would come down, even if the Fed were to cut rates. While the Fed funds rate has been cut by a full percentage point since last September, the yield or interest rate on the 10-year Treasury, which forms the basis for rates across the market, has risen by almost the same amount. This unusual occurrence is a reflection of the longer-term concerns in financial markets about the escalation of U.S. government debt, now at $36 trillion, and the rising interest bill on this debt, now at around $1 trillion a year. All estimates and calculations are that Trump's policies, in particular the commitment to extend tax cuts, will increase budget deficits and government debt. Apart from new debt, there is the issue of the higher interest, which must be paid to roll over bonds that were issued when interest rates were very low. Powell was at pains to project an air of stability, insisting that risk to the economy, rising inflation on the one hand and lower growth on the other, were evenly balanced. But the somewhat jittery nature of the markets was evident in the reaction to the statement announcing the decision. The Federal Open Market Committee, which determines the policy settings, said U.S. inflation remained, quote-unquote, somewhat elevated, and removed an earlier assertion that progress was being made towards the Fed's target of 2% inflation. This caused something of a tremor, because it indicated that rates could remain on hold for longer than expected, and even that they may rise. Powell offered the reassurance at his press conference that the changes were a cleaning up exercise in the language of the statement and not a shift in policy. Powell also pointed to the 5-year review of the monetary policy framework, which will be conducted later this year, the last one being in 2020. That review was conducted in conditions of low inflation, and the Fed considered the spike in prices at the time to be transitory. It turned out to be the most sustained period of inflation in 4 decades, leading to the interest rate hikes that started in 2022. Powell said the review would take into account new ideas and critical feedback, but noted that, quote, the 2% longer-run inflation goal will be retained and will not be a focus of the review, unquote. Inflation remains sticky and has marginally increased in the past months. Moreover, the Trump agenda could lead to rising prices, notwithstanding claims by members of his cabinet that tariffs are not inflationary. Thus, the reaction to yesterday's Fed decision from the White House may only be a preliminary skirmish.
This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI. The leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.